Two, please. The United States of America versus Eugene Joseph.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Bill Tice. I represent Mr. Joseph. In this case, Mr. Joseph was prejudiced by the admission of 404B evidence to the effect that he had previously stolen government property, that is, a piece of mail addressed to another person named Donnell Cooper. The government's case was circumstantial in part. It rested on opinion evidence in part, but there was a real question as to whether Mr. Joseph was the person behind what was going on in these cases. The government needed a boost, and it got that boost by introducing evidence that he had stolen a piece of government property, which was an uncharged offense. That would be the basis of reversing his conviction, using the test that is set out in a number of Seventh Circuit cases. The one that we've cited and used as sort of our guidepost is this court's decision in Galeen, which sets out various factors for the court to consider in deciding whether the 404B evidence was properly admitted. I don't know that any one factor is more important than the others. It seems to me that the one that sticks out the most in this case is that there has to be some indication, if even by a preponderance, that the uncharged offense was actually committed. And here we have a big problem. There is really no evidence in the record that there was an offense of stealing government property. And that's the way the government had the evidence go in, that this was a theft of a piece of mail, to wit, government property. Apparently there was some thought that that had a little more oomph to it, that it was not just stealing, but it was stealing of government property. And the problem is that that offense didn't occur. Now you might say, well, Mr. Joseph admitted that he stole government property. But the problem is, you know, you can admit to all sorts of things. It doesn't mean that they ever really happened. He could have admitted to assassinating President Lincoln. It doesn't mean that he did it. And here, by definition, where you have a piece of mail that is addressed from a bank to a person by the name of Donnell Cooper, neither the contents of the envelope nor the envelope itself constitute government property. Maybe it's the bank's property, maybe it's Mr. Cooper's property, but it's certainly not government property. And although at one point he said, yes, I stole government property, the envelope addressed to Mr. Cooper, he did not commit that offense. And that was the piece of evidence that the government felt was so important to bring into this case. Also, in terms of the Galeen factors, the uncharged offense here really had extremely little relevance in proving the charged offense. Now, the government tries to say in its brief that really this piece of evidence was important with regard to identity, it was important with regard to intent, it was important with regard to knowledge. But if you look at each of those pretty closely, you wonder what is the government's basis for saying any of that. The admitted fact that he stole a piece of government property really says nothing about his being the moving force behind this scheme. The government also wants to say, well, it shows his intent, because if he's stealing pieces of mail addressed to Donnell Cooper, he must be stealing pieces of mail that are addressed to these people who originally had the convenience checks addressed to them. But there's a number of problems with that. First of all, there was never any evidence in the record that any of these convenience checks were stolen from the mail. For all we know, and I know this happens at our house a lot, we get these things every day, we throw them in the garbage, someone walking down the street and poking through our recycling could pick them up out of our recycling. They're not stealing from the mail, they're stealing from the recycling. Also, the whole basis of the government's case was that Joseph, Emers, and Cooper were all the same person. So if we've got Emers picking up mail addressed to Cooper, who's really the same as Emers, according to the government. That's real different from stealing the mail, if it ever happened, addressed to one of these victims who testified at trial, to whom the convenience checks had been sent. So it doesn't work very well in terms of establishing anybody's intent. And balance that against what the government could have legitimately done. It was certainly legitimate of the government to prove that Emers comes to the that Joseph comes to the mailbox, picks up the mail addressed to Cooper, and when confronted, says, "I am Chloe Emers." That would have been...
Hadn't Mr. Joseph called the bank, asked Cooper, and tell him to issue that check to close his account?
The only evidence, I believe, in the record was that somebody representing himself as Cooper had said, "Send me this check."
And said, "Send it to such and such an address?"
That's correct.
And it happened to be your client.
And it happened to be...
And the government was there when your client picked up that
right.
envelope that he directed be sent to that address.
And that's why I would say it would be perfectly legitimate to establish that he comes to the box and he claims the mail. But to go...
That he directed be sent to that address.
I don't... The evidence doesn't show that. So I don't think it would be proper for the government to claim that he directed. That was certainly their theory. The facts were he came and took the piece of mail out of the mailbox.
And he knew just the time to be there to pick it up? And the bank said that someone called and used such and such a name? And they addressed it?
Even if we accept all of that...
Isn't that circumstantial evidence?
It is circumstantial. But here's the point. It was unnecessary overkill to establish that not only did he come and pick up the mail, but that he was stealing government property. That is the improper boost that they were allowed to give to their
case.
What
is the status of mail in the possession of the Postal Service? I mean, the stipulation said he took an envelope addressed to Donnell Cooper, the property of the United States Postal Service.
Right. You can certainly steal mail from the Postal Service, although the Postal Service doesn't own the mail. It has enough of a possessory interest so that someone can steal it from the Postal Service's possession. What happened here was that the Postal Service delivered the mail to one of these private mailbox companies. You know, there's a bank of private mailboxes. That is the box from which he took it. So it wouldn't be correct to say he had stolen from the U.S. mail, because the mail at that point is in the hands of the private agent waiting for the box holder to pick it up. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. I think it's best to start with a little bit of a discussion of the facts of this case so that we all understand them. The charge in the case was that the defendant, using two different aliases, Chloe Emers and Donnell Cooper, opened accounts at four different banks, one of them Lincoln National Bank. Deposits, stolen convenience access checks, credit card access checks, into those accounts, attempts to withdraw them. The evidence... at trial, it was largely undisputed that a fraud had occurred at these banks, and the question was who had committed it. And so the evidence here that the defendant objects to goes directly to whether the defendant engaged in this crime. It was the United States' position that the defendant stole the identities, used the identities of Chloe Emers and Donnell Cooper. And it was the government's theory that the defendant directed that a check be sent to this private mailbox facility, I believe 1340 West Irving Park Road in Chicago, and lo and behold, as Your Honor points out, who shows up on that day when that check is there to be picked up? Who shows up but the defendant, Eugene Joseph? And he shows up carrying an identification card in the name of Chloe Emers, and indeed he says that that's who he is, and he's there picking up the mail of Donnell Cooper. So he tied directly to both of those identities at the time that he stopped. Now, the stipulation that was entered into was that on March 13th of 1997, and again, this is the only evidence in terms of the 404B that was admitted at trial, and the defendant stipulated to it.
To its admission.
To its admission, yes. The first is that the first piece of evidence was that on March 13th of 1997, the defendant responded here when a court clerk called for Chloe Emmers in the Circuit Court of Cook County. That's stipulation number one. There's nothing about a crime. There's nothing about there's nothing about the defendant being charged with mail theft. And that's relevant. It's the admission of the defendant that he's using the identity of Chloe Emmers, or so a jury could find. It's relevant to the issue of the defendant's knowledge, the defendant's identity as the perpetrator of the crime, because he's the person who's using the name Chloe Emmers. The second stipulation, which the defendant now wants to argue about, is that on March 13th of 1997, the defendant, Eugene Joseph, acknowledged that he knowingly and without authority took an envelope addressed to Donnell Cooper, the property of the U.S. Postal Service, intending to permanently deprive the said U.S. Postal Service of the use and benefit of said property. That language, if I recall correctly, as we were drafting the stipulation, came from the state charge. The state charge, and I don't know why they charged it this way, but that was the state charge. It's relevant here because he's admitting he's not entitled to that piece of mail. That's the relevance in this case. He's not entitled to it because he is not Donnell Cooper. He's only assuming his identity. It's relevant because it's part of the bank fraud in this case. He's not lawfully entitled to have that piece of mail, which contains what he believes to be a check withdrawing the money from that Lincoln National Bank account that he's opened. Mr. Joseph's counsel argues, well, we didn't prove it. Well, he pled guilty to it, and he stipulated to it in the trial of this case. The issue is the unauthorized possession of the mail. The issue about, well, is it the Postal Service's mail, is it not, it's sort of a red herring. But in fact, as you point out, Your Honor, it's the United States mail until it gets to its lawful recipient. And the private postal box, the mailboxes, et cetera, kind of a box that this was, is really an agent of the U.S. Postal Service. So was the charge correct in state court? Was it not? Arguably it was, but that's not really the issue here. The issue is whether the defendant forfeited any appeal to this. But the major issue is whether this evidence was properly admitted. And it was. It goes to intent. It goes to absence of mistake. It goes to the defendant's knowledge of the scheme in this case. It goes directly to tie the defendant into the identities of Chloe Emmers and Donnell Cooper. And if there are no questions, I would ask the court to affirm the conviction. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Do you have anything to add, please?
I have just a couple of points for the same remaining. Government counsel just made an assertion so casually that perhaps it might be taken as true when he says that mailboxes, et cetera, is an agent of the Postal Service. In fact, it's just the opposite. Mailboxes, et cetera, is an agent of the individual box holder.
Do you believe that? Can you put newspapers in a U.S. postal box or packages, that private packages, legally?
No, but what happens here is the post office delivers the mail to mailboxes, et cetera.
I know,
and
but it isn't
their facility.
Pardon me?
That's mailboxes, et cetera's facility. They are the agent. Just like when the postman brings the mail to our office and gives it to our receptionist, she's not the agent of the postal system. She's my agent.
But that's not true of the postal boxes. That's specified for the U.S. Postal.
Absolutely correct, and that's not an issue here.
You're saying, you brought it up. That's what I was trying to answer it for you.
You're saying that mailboxes, et cetera, is the agent. It's a private company, private mailbox. It's not the like the post office box. So they're the agent of the
right
recipient.
They make it look like it's the post office. You go there and you confront it with rows and rows of boxes, but it's not.
But they weren't involved in this, were they?
That's where the mail was sent.
To where?
To this mailboxes, et cetera, facility out on the west side of Chicago.
And then did they privately deliver?
No, the idea is that the customer, their customer...
comes and picks it up there.
Comes and picks it up from them, who are his agent.
Right. Okay.
And the post office is out of the picture once his agent gets the mail.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Court will...